And those of you who have been hanging out with me for quite a long time have heard Psalm 139 pretty regularly. I use it at weddings and I use it at funerals. And I just absolutely love the psalm that Jim just read, the knowledge that God knows us and loves us, that God, I was actually in my studies this week, I came across a piece that suggested that when we talk about the God's God beheld the days of our lives, that is actually a better translation, is to say that God anticipated the days of our lives before any of them yet existed. That who we are, who God has created us to be, we have the potential to do the most marvelous things, that God anticipates that with our days, with our hours, with our minutes, that we will be able to make a remarkable impact in the world. Before when we still existed only as nutrients in the ground, even then God anticipated what we would do, what we could do with these precious lives that have been granted to us. It was a new thought to me, and I love the thought. And I love that that's actually a better translation than God knew it all beforehand, and we're kind of moving constricted by God's intention of what we do. To know that God anticipating today is kind of like that, and using just a little bit of preacher prerogative, because I want to make the reading a little bit longer than the one in the bulletin. And so I'll read longer and preach shorter. The text has us beginning, or the bulletin has us beginning at verse 43 in chapter 1. And I want to back up to John and begin in verse 35. So we're told that John the Baptist, again, was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched, Jesus walked by, and John exclaimed, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "So what are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and they saw where Jesus was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon, and one of the two who had heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And so Andrew went and he found his brother Simon, and he said to them, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, so Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. It was the next day that Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him who Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote about, Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And then Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said to him, "Ah, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you under a fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man." Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, descend afresh on me, that your word will not return empty. Amen. It's been, for me, something of an embarrassing week when our president made statements about people from some of our island nations and the continent of Africa. With this passage and the idea, can anything good come from that place where I don't expect anything good to come? And so I just had to speak to that. And Karen and I, when we were on sabbatical, we spent some time in Geneva. And when we were there, had been killed in Haiti during the earthquake. And, you know, the heart that they had for the people whom their daughter had been serving, and their grandchild, brilliant, brilliant young man who was Haitian. I shake my head in disbelief that that was said, and yet I believe that, well, amazing things happen in ways we don't expect. It is also, you know, so the president spoke, the next day was the anniversary of that earthquake that took the lives of so many beloved, of so many people's children, that squashed so many hopes and so many dreams. And, you know, and so I don't want to say bad things about the president. I just celebrate that we have this day, a day when we claim the hope that is ours in the civil rights movement. The hope that we have, it's kind of anchored in Martin Luther King Jr. We celebrate kind of his birthday, but it's not about the man, Martin Luther King. It's about a dream. It's about a vision of who we can be. It's about the possibility of claiming that there is a place for justice in our land, and that we are all going to be together, and we're going to be a much happier, healthier, more productive, more vital people when we fully embrace our differences and allow those who are other than us to be our teachers, to somehow try to limit our exposure to those places we don't understand, is fearful for what it portends for the future of not only our country, but of the world. So I hold that kind of in suspense even now, and I think about what it means to be known, what it means to be anticipated. I decided to go with a longer reading in John today because you know, it's kind of this fun thing. So John sees Jesus and says, wow, there is the Lamb of God too. He's been telling them along that there's one coming after me who's greater than I am. And when you meet that one, you should go follow him. And so he said to his disciples, he says, you know, there's the Lamb of God. And they went and they followed Jesus and just to see where he was going. Who are you? Where do you live? And so they go on this journey and they find his place and they become convinced that Jesus is Lord. And so Andrew goes and talks to his brother and says, wow, this amazing thing happened to me. I met someone who I believe is the person that the prophets were speaking of. And Simon goes to meet Jesus, and Jesus says, wow, changes his name, calls him Peter. And then then there's the calling of Nathaniel, and then get the order right, but it's not really what's so important. I gotta like Nathaniel, you know. Nathaniel says, I'm not believing it. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know how those people are. They are kind of our ne'er-do-wells. They kind of hang out. However you want to frame that up, you know. But his sense is that I'm not taking this at face value. I'm not going to believe just because you told me. But he's willing to go and find out. And he goes to where Jesus is. He trusts the word of his friend enough to make the journey to go and find the presence of the Lord and to sit there. And as Jesus says, he sees him coming, he says, wow, here is a man of integrity. I mean, before Nathanael gets there, even though he's kind of got an attitude, Jesus recognizes that he is a person of great substance, of great power, of great potential. And he says, I saw you're a good person of good character. And Nathanael says, so when did you see me? He says, well, you know, even before Philip talked to you, I saw you under the tree. Doesn't say what he was doing under the tree. And in a way, this is almost like parlor trick magic, you know, that I saw you under there. But you know, there's nothing kind of superficial about it. And Jesus is saying, yeah, well, before you came into my presence, I anticipated your life. I considered who you are. And I understood who you can be. And I know that you are one that has been invited to be one of my own. Nathanael responds to that call. He says, wow, you are the Lord. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Wow, what a transition. From going, standing kind of jaded about those people, to being in a place where one can say, yes, you are one that I recognize as to those who are going to be called to me and by me. So, Nathanael, I love this guy. I love this story. And I love the fact that we're celebrating call today. So Samuel gets called. He doesn't know what it is. He's just awakened from his sleep, hearing his voice, you know, maybe in the dark of the night, maybe when you're driving down the road, maybe when you're visiting a person in the hospital, maybe whenever it is, when you welcome your first child or one of your children into the world, and all of a sudden you realize that God is with you, God is present in this place, and at that moment you hear, you know that God has called your name. And if you're one of the people that's been able to have that kind of experience, it's so lovely. It's life transforming. But you might also be a kind of person who just punches it out one day at a time, one step at a time. Not because it's magical, not because it does something with your feeling, not because Jesus said that he saw you while you were under the tree, but because there's a truth in the words of Christ that invite us to know our own selves, and sometimes we've got to work to get there. And I think of Mother Teresa. All those years where it felt like the Spirit had vacated her life, and she kept doing it anyway. Because even if she's not nurtured by this sense of being deeply connected with the Spirit of God, she is nurtured by the knowledge that even if there is no God, I would want to live as a person of God. And even in the absence of the emotion, time, one day at a time, one beloved at a time, to reach across their pain and their disease, to touch and bring healing where all had felt hopeless. And I don't know what she experienced as she encountered the divine, what she encountered at the end of her life. But I know that each day of her life, she made a difference because Christ invited her to make a difference. And because she saw in the words of her master the call to be a person who is for others. In my studies, I came across a little piece from Martin Luther King's Stride Toward Freedom, written in 1958. It's been some time since the high emotional days of Brown versus the Board of Education, and the bus boycotts have done what they've done, and there's been some movement toward the hope of. And he writes these words. He says, "I was ready to give up. My coffee was sitting untouched before me. I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In the state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I just bowed. The words I spoke to the Lord that midnight are still vivid in my memory. I am here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter, and I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I cannot face it alone." And at that moment, writes Dr. King, "I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, 'Stand for justice, stand for truth, and God will be at your side forever.' Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared, and I was ready to face anything." Gosh, he was so young at that point, still in his 20s, still trying to figure out how to be faithful, thrust into a position that he never particularly wanted, and trying to ask how does one be faithful when one is set apart by the community and invited to make a difference in the world, overwhelmed by the weight of it all. So he had one of those moments where God came close. Mother Teresa, toward the end of her life, didn't have those moments anymore, but still continued on. The sisters and brothers here at Lakewood Presbyterian Church, in this time of Epiphany, when we are considering the gifts we are given and the call that we have to use those gifts to the service of the people of God, I don't know what God does in the midst of each one of our prayer lives. I don't know how immediate or imminent feels the power of God in the darkness of our journey at times. But I do know that God is faithful still, and that God anticipates with loving longing who we are and who we are to become. May we have the courage to reach out and invite others to know that they are loved. Lord, thank you for those who have gone before. The story of their lives, written, inscribed upon our history books and in the mythology that makes us a people. And we know those who stand in division and those who stand in togetherness and hope. There are so many voices that call for our attention and for our following. And yet you knew us before we were formed. You anticipated our lives and who we could be. Lord God, this day, come to us again. Speak to us again and invite us to know the loving anticipation with which you hold each one of us. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.